Welcome to another episode of Mac and Cheese with Andy Mac and Steady McFly.
Hey, this is Steady McFly. And Andy having a beer, sorry. Hey, this is Steady McFly.
And Andy Mac.
Hey, this is Steady McFly.
And Andy Mac.
From the Mac and Cheese Show. We're here to tell you about all our links and stuff. So you can catch us on Twitter, at Mac and Cheese Pod. You can get us on email, macandcheesepod@gmail.com.
If you've got any good stories for us or some good feedback.
That's it. We're on Facebook.com/macandcheesepr.
PRR, two R's.
And if you could be ever so kind... ever so kind as to go onto our iTunes page and subscribe to the show, so every week you don't have to go through the painstaking process of waiting for us to put up a link to the episode. It'll automatically download it as soon as there's Wi-Fi available.
For free?
For free!
Totally!
That's it. And the other way that we get our name out there is for you to rate our podcast. Please say something nice to the people out there about our lovely little show. Let the people know just how funny we are.
Share the love.
Share the love. Let your friends know, because we think we're funny, and there's a couple of people who have said that we're funny, and we think other people would enjoy the show too. Well, enough groveling.
Please.
See you, Andy.
See you, Andy. Hey, it's Steady McFly.
Hey, Andy, how you going?
I'm doing very well, Steady McFly. How was your week?
Good, man. Good. Just, you know, living large like I do.
Living large?
Yeah.
All those important things that you do with your weekend.
Hell's yeah.
Hell's yeah.
Hell's yeah.
I had a fascinating weekend, Steady McFly.
Yeah.
I achieved many great things. Achieved many great things, Steady McFly.
What do you mean?
Shall I rattle them off for you?
Sure.
Okay, I made from scratch chicken dumplings on Friday night.
Yeah.
Chicken dumplings. I went to the...
Man of many talents.
I know. I didn't know it was possible, but, you know, they didn't suck. So, chicken dumplings.
You didn't know it was possible to make chicken dumplings.
For me to make chicken dumplings. Right. I should clarify. I should clarify that study before. So, I made chicken dumplings. I went and saw that X-Men movie. It was okay. It was still a win. I got to see a movie.
Yeah.
I finished a book. I finished building a cabinet. That was full on. None of this IKEA stuff.
Yeah.
Building a cabinet from scratch.
How much did that cabinet end up costing you, mate?
here's the thing. When we went looking for a cabinet just like it, it was like $400. And I was like, nah. Three sides and a door and some drawers. I could put that together. Easy. Way under $400. So then I did one trip to Bunnings and two trips to Bunnings. It got around the $200 mark. And then we went for some other reason to Freedom Furniture, and they were all on special for $180.
So
it came in cheap. But I finished, I built it from scratch. That's pretty exciting.
And that's something you can be proud of until it falls apart in a month.
Tiny little pieces, but we'll see how it goes. I pulled another person out of a car crash. I finished a video game that I was playing for a while.
Hang on a second. Rewind from video game.
Rewind from video game.
You pulled another person out of a car crash.
Yes, it's becoming a bit of a routine on my street.
Trouble is attracted to you. You've already got your Medal of Bravery.
I do. You're going
for a second one.
Oh no!
You're going for a third one.
It's weird. It's one of those. Like, this time, I will say, like, there was a van outside. Again, middle of the night, I woke up, and here's the story, Stead. Because normally, the missus is a light sleeper, and last time there was a car crash, she was, like, up, prodding me. Something's happened outside. And I'm like, no, it was like a pothole. No, we'll go and check. This time, I got up, and the missus was still sleeping away, doing her thing. So I got up, And I was like, it's definitely a crash. I heard a crash. Put my pants on, put my shoes on, went to my drawer to get a shirt out, pulled out a shirt, started putting it on my head. This is like 2 o'clock in the morning, mind you. And it wouldn't go on. In the middle, I'm trying to get outside to see what... It wouldn't go on, so I fang it off my body and look at it. It's like leggings. Black leggings. I'm like, these are not mine. These belong to the missus. They're in my shirt drawer. threw them in the corner and grabbed the shirt drawer again and pulled out another one, put it on. This is another pair of leggings! What the fuck is going on? By this time, Valerie's woken up and she's like, what? What's going on? To see a pair of leggings flying at her face while I'm throwing these things off my body. Eventually, I found a shirt and went outside. There was an overturned van smashed to buggery in the middle of the Hume Highway.
Yeah.
So I raced out and there was a bunch of people around by this stage because I'd struggled with my shirt for so long. And I ran out and there was a little head bobbing around inside, poking out of the side window,
right,
checking things out. And so I went over and the guy was already had a broken leg. He had a moon boot on and he sort of struggled his way out of the back of the van. So I went inside and sort of helped him struggle his way outside of this overturned van.
Yeah.
And then he sort of, he was like, I'm right. And like me, first aid person. Right?
Yeah.
I was like, I need to check this guy. I need to check him for shock. I need to sit him down. But there was a police officer there too, who apparently was just passing, like, unmarked car, whatever.
Right.
And he was on the phone calling the other police. There was a bunch of other people around. So I sort of froze. I sort of started looking around and put my hands in my pockets. And, like, this guy's standing next on, propped up on his van. Yeah. Says he's okay. Other people are sort of wandering around. And it wasn't until, like, behind me on the other side of the street, I sort of turned and sort of made a step towards my house that Valerie's like, is he okay? You need to check him. Go and check that man. I was like, yeah, I need to check this man. Right. And I went back and I realized, like, I went and checked him. I checked him for cuts, and bruises, and injuries. I sat him down on a bus stop because his back was aching from a freaking car crash.
Of course.
And I treated him for shock and kept him talking until the ambos arrived. But I just realized that, you know, middle of the morning, Andy Mac, despite the fact that I've been in these situations before, this time there was a lot more people around. And my brain just kind of went, someone else is going to adult here. There's adults around.
Yeah.
I need...
There's police.
Like, there's people that must be older than I am, and they'll take care of it. But then, as I turned around and started helping him, I sort of realized, like, nobody was taking care of it. I was the adult. I was the adult in that situation.
Yeah, and it kind of Andy.
Fell to me to help this guy out. And it was so weird that even after all these years, and I'm 31 now and I've got a big ass beard on my face, I was still looking at other people going, they're the adults. They'll look after it. It's totally not the case. Weird experience. But he was all right. He walked away into the paramedic van and they took him off and they got rid of the wreck. Another happy-go-lucky story from my weekends.
It always happens at the front of your house.
At the front of my house, and no one has written off my stupid Holden car yet.
No, that's
the only thing that keeps surviving these damn crashes. But that was my weekend. Another person pulled out of a stupid wrecked car because people drink and drive and they're friggin' morons.
That's you know right.
The exciting part was we figured out, it's like, he's in a moon boot. He can't drive. Surely, what's he even trying to drive for? And then as we were chucking him in the paramedic van and stuff, the cops have got someone else on the curb in handcuffs. Someone else was driving.
Right.
They crawled out of this wreck of a van and ditched their mate inside. Banged off.
Did the runner.
Safe arrest. People are dickheads.
Nice.
People are just douchebags.
Yeah.
Really.
Anyway. And you keep saving them.
I keep saying.
What do I keep saying about we need to cull the human race and you keep putting them back out there, Andy?
He's my one foible, my one weakness in life, Steady McFly.
Keep trying to save people.
Keep trying to get them alive and running.
Yeah. Steady McFly. It's been a week. It has been some kind of week. Has it not, Steady?
It really
there
has.
It's kind of a somber mood to have on the show. We don't usually go real on people.
We We are the chuckle. We're the chuckle people. We find the stories that nobody's really paying attention to. Yeah. The ones that slip through the cracks because they don't really affect anybody. They're right. not, you know, apart from your science stories. Your science stories don't affect
They'll affect people in 20 years.
Right, but we, like, anything really Trumpy or anything, you know, that is on the mainstream media, we just don't bother because it's not our place. No. It's not our forte.
No.
Right?
But we know we don't know shit about it.
This was just so alarming. It was so bizarre.
We are, of course, talking about Brexit.
Hashtag Brexit,
which has just happened. It's not a joke anymore. No. We can't make fun of it. They voted out.
Yeah.
For all of our listeners out there that, you know, exist under a rock, quite literally, the UK has decided to split.
Look, from to be honest, EU. Like, I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Right.
Right. And every now and then I go on news.com and flick through the main headlines or whatever just to see what's going on in the world. But I really wasn't across this until literally the day of the vote.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was going on, really. Oh. And then the day of the vote, I saw all these things. Even you, I saw you posting about it.
Well, see, I've had like 3 or 4 months of my relatives in the UK going, you know, these are the reasons not to vote us out, to stay in the EU. These are the reasons why these guys are idiots. And just talking the crazy talk about splitting from the EU. And then, I got to the day and I was like, that's fine. Like, everybody I know is being sensible. Not going to ruin anything. And then I watched the live vote because I happened to be off work that morning. And it was traumatizing from the get-go. It was like the Leaves are leading and it just stayed that way. And you watched all the little counties in Scotland and Northern Ireland and stuff finish. And I was like, no, they're still in front. The Leaves are still in front. This is ridiculous.
Well, like every electorate in Scotland, every electorate in Northern Ireland, voted to stay.
Right?
Every single one of them. Right. Most of the votes came from the UK itself.
Yeah.
And the thing that I thought was great is, like, it turned into a Trump rally. Like, it turned from make the UK shine, and you know there's money to be saved in the taxes that we pay to the EU. There's this, you know, the UK and Britain has been such a powerhouse in the past. We want to extend ourselves and be that powerhouse again. And it just from there it turned to fucking stop the immigrants from coming in. We're sick of immigrants and they took our jobs.
They took our jobs. They took our houses.
So quickly it degraded from, you know, let's rise up to fucking, let's rise up and beat the immigrants. Like, no more immigrants.
Close the borders. No one in or out.
Build a wall. Someone else is proposing building a wall around their country, Andy.
Most of us make fun of them.
Yeah.
Now you guys are just straight up. It's crazy. I mean, the Prime Minister guy's resigned.
That's over. That blew my mind.
It is friggin' over.
I mean, put it this way. Like, I've seen this Boris Johnson guy in the news over the last, 10 years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust him to mind my children. No, like,
not even the keys to my house.
No, you wouldn't. Geez. Like, how are people subscribing to this dude's theories? He's an absolute crackpot. He's an
ape and a half. I don't know. But, I mean, straight away, it's like the votes are in and the stock market crashes down. The British pound is the lowest it's ever been for, like, 30 years. It's mental.
I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, like, if they want to keep trading within Europe, they're going to have to abide by all the laws of the European Union anyway.
Right.
So it just means that they're not going to have any of the benefits of being a part of the Europe. So they're going to be spending more money. They're going to have to be doing a whole lot more through, you know, getting in and out of the country and things like that.
It just, extra visas where you didn't need them before. Why? It's ridiculous. And I mean, if you're like, they're saving all that money because we're not sending it to the EU, And it's like, well, the EU's like, well, we need to make up that money. We just charge you extra tariffs to trade with us.
Yeah.
So you're going to be paying that money anyway.
Yeah.
You're just not getting any of the shit like, back.
So we used to, you know, give you an exemption on being part of the local stock market. It's like, well, say goodbye to your exemption. Right. So whatever money saving you're now getting by not being part of the union, you now have to pay us back in taxes to be part of the local trading market.
They just won't tell the public about those extra taxes. It's crazy. It just baffles me because, like, you look like history as a whole. You know, people used to live in small communities and small city-states and stuff because they couldn't trade and communicate. It was very difficult. And as we've grown up as a civilization, we've unified and countries are bigger and nations are bigger and we can have European unions and Asia-Pacific unions and things like that. Who in their right mind wants to go backwards? Who goes, nah, that's all the future. Let's stick here by ourselves for a bit.
Yeah.
What is that?
To me, it's like, I mean, because we're part of our own little continent, we don't have to deal with any friends, really. Like, you know, obviously we've got our trading relationships.
Oh, yeah.
But inside of the context of a continent, we are our own, right. You know, subserving little thing, right? Yeah. But it'd be like New South Wales just going, you know what?
No.
This thing's been working for quite a long time, right? We're just going to go off on our own.
Right. Because, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we started out as separate states and they were all independent of each other.
Yeah.
And then we decided to join together and make everything easier for ourselves. And then deciding, nah, screw it, New South Wales is
New South Wales just goes, and you know what? You Queenslanders, you Victorians, you can't come in.
Yeah. You need a visa to stop in. You're like, get stuffed. They are closer to each other than Sydney and Brisbane.
Yeah.
Like they are closer and now they're not in the same union.
Absolutely ridiculous. Silly.
Well, they're
silly, silly people.
The favourite thing I saw on Facebook today was that, Time Magazine? The New Yorker, you know, Britain loses its claim that America is stupider.
Yeah.
Officially.
Yeah, yeah.
Officially, they can't take the piss out of Americans anymore.
Meme that said that they took over 80% of the world and now they're complaining about immigrants. Right?
British immigrants for the last 200 years. They
still own friggin' half the world.
We're still in the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're still part of that shindig.
Anyway, just ridiculous. Like, as I said, we're not normally in the news, but it's so baffling, racist and stupid,
right?
It really just boils down to good old fashioned racism.
I know,
and
it's the biggest thing until Trump gets elected.
Yeah,
you know, it's the biggest piece of, and this is the thing. It's like it's settled now. Because like I was always like, oh, maybe logic will prevail and Hillary or someone else will get in. And now it's like, no, the British were that stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
The Americans are definitely voting Trump in now.
I mean,
I love you guys in the States and in the UK, but seriously.
I kind of relate the UK, this whole Brexit thing to what Australia was like in 2007, right?
Everything, Kevin 07.
Yeah, like everything was going fine. We'd had a Liberal government
for
however many years. Mm. Everything was fine. You know, the country was profitable. We were doing well. And we just got bored. And this guy came along and he's like, you need a change. And we're like, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do. And he's like, you vote for me and everything's going to be so good, right? I mean, like, okay, I didn't think it was bad now, but I guess it's bad.
Right.
And we're like, within a month, we're like, Kevin 07, Kevin 07. And then we all voted for him and then shit went downhill fast.
About shit going down here. See, agree to disagree. We dodged the global financial crisis. I stopped having to sign a contract for below minimum wages.
All right. Agree to disagree, but let me give you one point on why I'm right and you're wrong.
All right. Right. Shoot.
So how many, before 2007, how many prime ministers did we have in the 6 years leading up to 2007? The answer is one. How many prime ministers have we had since 2007?
It's been a bit. It's been a bit rocky.
Yeah.
True right. that. Yeah. All right, Steady McFly. Well, that's enough politics for us because we've is. Got beer drinking.
Let's get to poops and farts and shits and stuff.
Let's fang into it.
Let's go
head first.
Enough nonsense. Let's get into
weird news. Oh, I can't wait, Andy. Oh, is it a good one?
Let's do this week.
Fox News reported a story this week.
All right.
That a teen in America.
Right. Well, Fox News only reports on America.
Yeah. So a teen in America managed to hack a North Korean version of Facebook.
Oh, Facebook. They have their own Facebook.
So North Korea doesn't. They're not on Facebook because obviously, you know, they're not. They don't want any.
They
propaganda.
Have that shitty thing that you have at work. Not the internet, but the intranet.
Yeah.
It only connects to other things at your work.
Like LinkedIn. Yeah. It's only for people in North Korea, right?
Right.
So it's called. It's just called Social Network of Korea.
Yep.
That's the whole thing, right? It's just Social Network of Korea, and it's for the people of Korea to. I'm guessing.
Are you sure it's not Socialist Network of Korea?
Good
thing you're reading it right.
Right. But I'm sure it's just to share pictures of the glorious leader and tell stories of how wonderful he is and how he saved 16 burning children from an overturned bus, much like Andy Mack.
Sitting at photos with a bowl of three beans to split between the family. Hashtag buffet. Hashtag feast week.
Right.
Right.
So in a move that seems like it's straight out of a Seth Rogen movie, this teenager has managed to hack into North Korea's Facebook.
Yeah.
But not even like just hack into like someone's account. He's hacked the actual social network itself.
Wowzers. What?
Right? And you know how he managed to do this? It's not exactly like he's a high-skilled hacker. He actually managed to get in there under the username admin.
Admin.
And the password.
No.
Password.
No. What?
So whoever's in charge of Best Korean Social Network has not updated their username from admin.
From the default.
From the default. Ouch. So he's gone in there as username admin, password, and look, once he got in there, he thought that he would, you know, post some critical Kim Jong-un things.
Yeah.
He wanted to like kind of cause a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
But having seen the controversy that the movie, was it The Dictator? Yeah. The Dictator?
No, it was the Seth Rogen thing.
The Interview.
The Interview, that's the one.
Having seen the controversy that The Interview sparked and all those kind of Sony hacks and things like that the Koreans were quite, you know, full on about, he decided that he didn't want any of that, and he just left one simple message that said, I didn't create this site. I didn't actually really want to hack it. I just managed to log in.
Yeah.
And, hi, North Korea. That was it. That's all
That's
he did.
He just left.
And he left.
Aww. Isn't opportunities, that dude. You could have been doing late line and stuff.
It's
with
so
your
good.
Awesome. Dude.
Best
update
Korean
your security.
Social network. Get your profile up there now. I doubt we'd even. I didn't even know. Like, he would have had to have some sort of skills to get around, like, VPNs and stuff to be able to actually access Korean internet.
Yeah.
Like, surely Korean internet wouldn't allow VPNs from outside Korea to be able to access it.
Yeah.
So he must have some kind of skills there.
Some skills. More skills than I have.
Yeah.
You can't figure out how to Dropbox.
Right.
No. It's just impossible.
Like with band stuff, we always try and put stuff in the Dropbox. And we're like, Andy, have you figured out how to use it yet? No.
I sign into Dropbox and it says, your Dropbox is too full. You need to upgrade to something. And then I can't find the band stuff. I just can't get into anything. Like, what am I doing here?
Truly are the other side of 30, aren't you, mate?
Totally.
All right, moving on.
Yep.
We're going over to Italy.
Yeah.
We're in Italy, where an Italian man has suffered a he had an accident. Now, in that accident, he had an injury and he suffered some brain damage.
Mm.
Now, coming out of that, when he woke up, he wasn't speaking Italian, Andy.
What?
He woke up and he thought, at least, he was speaking fluent French.
He thought he was speaking fluent French. That was a very specific sentence that you put together.
Right.
That's standing before.
So the man, the 50-year-old man, who had never, ever expressed an interest in French culture at all, but had learnt some French in school when he was young. So when he was going to like middle school, primary school, he studied a bit of French. So he had a little bit of knowledge there, you know, bonjour, you know, that sort of stuff. The things that most people would know. He came out speaking what he thought was fluent French. He seemed to have an overwhelming interest in French culture now.
Yeah.
He loved French films.
Right.
French books.
Right.
French food.
Uh-huh.
And he just was all around wanted to be French. Now, the thing was that someone who came by to have a look at this man found that he wasn't actually speaking French. He was more like a character of a French man. So he was kind of doing the
right, so he's just faffing about with someone else's language.
Right, exactly.
So, no one will notice.
I mean, a study paper
had
looked at it, and it just said that for some reason with these things, when a massive brain trauma or some sort of brain damage, it can trigger responses in some people, which will give them an unnatural attachment to one part of, one tiny part of their brain. So, you know, maybe all of his other memories, all of the other memories of things that he loved and things that he was passionate about have been damaged.
Yeah.
And all that was left
is his love of French.
Is like a couple of French things that he learned in high school. And like a couple of French movies. That's all he's gripped onto. He's
just wandering around like some
idiot. So now
like
he's just getting on.
Idiot. Going, je suis du fromage.
Exactly. Now,
over and over again.
Now, so he still writes in Italian.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know French.
Right.
But despite that, he still insists on communicating in his version of
his
French.
His version of French.
All of his friends and family have learned how to interpret what he's banging on about in some sort of gobbledygook French language, and he's just getting on with his life. I mean, obviously, so he is brain damaged, so he's on the pension, he doesn't have to work, he can just do it.
He can be as French as he wants to.
Exactly, he's pretty harmless, he's just getting around reading his French books and watching his French movies.
Trying to read his French books.
That's amazing. Baguettes and snails.
That's amazing, because we've had stories about people waking up after brain injuries speaking fluent Chinese and speaking weird, like, this guy didn't even make it that far.
No.
He got close enough.
A caricature.
A caricature.
Close enough.
Right.
He probably started wearing like a stripy shirt, the red scarf around the neck with the beret, the little pencil thin mustache just turned up at the sides.
Sorted.
A deep hate of the Americans.
Or foreigners in general, right?
Yeah. Unless you like try and, you know, speak their language a little bit. And they're kind of nice. I told you the story about when I was in Paris, and I, like, we'd learned through our travels that if you try to speak a little bit of the language, then the locals are generally more receptive.
Generally.
Like, in places like Paris and Rome and the big, you know, centres of tourism, 90% of the people that work in the shops or work on the tour bus or work in the hotels, they all speak English.
Yeah.
But they really appreciate when you try. So, like, we're in Italy and, you know, we went up to a vendor to ask for water. And, Crystal went up and she, you know, asked for l'acqua.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, you know, used a bit of her Italian. And the guy, I think he charges like €2 for a bottle of water.
And then these Americans came up afterwards. And he's like, hello, can we get some water?
Yeah.
I think he charged him like €6
water. Suck it.
And when I was in France, I was in Paris. And I needed to go to the toilet. And we were in this... department store. Yeah. And I went up to the guy in there.
Yeah, you disappeared from our group.
Bonjour. Où est la toilette? And my accent must have been so convincing to this man that he just went, oh, c'est joie, c'est bien, c'est joie, c'est bizarre. And I looked at him and went, thanks.
Merci.
I had no idea where the toilet was.
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea.
You disappeared from the group for like half an hour and then you walked sheepishly back and were like, Stead, we're busting, where's the toilet? And you're like,
yeah, when they said, like, when we went overseas, they, like, learn, like, a couple of things. Yeah. A couple of things you want to know is how to ask for the toilet, how to ask for, like, money, that sort of stuff. But I learned the toilet too good, Andy. I was too good when I was in France.
And France is the hard place to find a toilet. Public service announcement. Plus, they just don't have toilets.
Like, I mean, for Australians, we just call them toilet, and it's written toilet everywhere. But most places in Europe, it's the water closet.
Yeah,
or WC. So, like, WC means shit to me. But they'll have signs up that say WC or like, you know, VC, because the W is says VC, and it means nothing to me. So I'm like, I'm trying to find a toilet. Like the water closet is around there.
Yeah, yeah, right. I guess. Yeah, you don't speak such foul language, right?
Anyway, all right. Speaking of foulness, Andy.
Oh yes,
I've got a nice big bowel story for you.
Shit.
So we're in America.
All right.
We're in Georgia.
Yep.
And we're eating at the Waffle House.
Okay.
Right. As so we're at a Waffle House.
Yep.
Now a man, a 36-year-old man named Bashir Rashid.
Bashir Rashid
was arrested.
Yep.
This month. On June the 7th, after he drove his BMW to the Waffle House in Sandy Springs, Georgia. Now, our mate Bashir proceeded then to get out of his BMW and try to enter the restaurant. Now, the thing about Bashir at this time is he was 100% completely Nicky Nerd. Not a shred of clothing on him. He was completely 100% naked.
To dress?
No. Like
we've all had that nightmare.
Have a guess.
Is he a nudist?
No.
No.
He was drunk. He was very, very drunk. So he got out of his car. He tried to fumble his way in the front door. He couldn't figure it out because he was drunk and nude. So he decided just to pee right there on the front door.
Of course.
So this in front, like, this is a restaurant, like a fast food restaurant. Yeah. So as you can imagine, all the surroundings of the building are glass.
Yeah.
Now there's families sitting inside eating their waffles and seeing this 36-year-old naked, not in the best of shape man standing there urinating all over the front door.
God.
So a couple of the people inside the restaurant decided to call the police.
Yeah.
One of them rang the police and said, you know, gentlemen, I'm down here at the Waffle House at Sandy Springs.
Yeah.
A gentleman just got out of his car and he's naked and standing at the front door. He's just peed on the door and now he's trying to walk inside. You need to get down here. So some of the people were, you know, they did the right thing and they called the police. Yes,
as you do.
Now, my mate, Derwin Rogers.
Your mate.
Now, in 2016, there's a thing that Facebook has brought out. So we all have the capability of photos and videos on Facebook.
Yep.
There's a thing that's come out recently and it's just starting to get a bit more popularity. People are using it a lot more now. It's called Facebook Live. Have you done a Facebook Live video, Andy?
We have. We did a
show. So not only
did
we in the past have the opportunity, everyone in the world now carries around a camera 24/7.
Yeah.
So we can take photos and videos of whatever we want and upload it to YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, 100 different apps, and have it beamed out to the entire world, right, within minutes of taking the video.
Minutes. Bugger that. Too long.
Our mate Derwin Rogers decided that wasn't quick enough for him. He got out his Facebook and he live streamed to the entire world the naked man who was standing at the front of the Waffle House peeing on the Waffle House. So
it's a public service, really.
Yeah, so Derwin Rogers, they asked him for a statement and he said, look, I don't know, I just decided it needed to be captured and it needed to be broadcast.
Right.
And look, I'm lucky I didn't have any kids with me, but I don't know what I would tell my kids because that dude was built like a potato.
Some things need to be seen to be believed, right? That's
great. And look, the officers, when they eventually got him, they had to arrest the man and they had to put him in their cruiser naked.
Oh. Now, they gotta scrub those cruisers, man.
Unfortunately, on the way into the cruiser, he started urinating again.
Oh, God, he's got a tiny little drunk man bladder.
Yes. Not so, cool. That's a great story. I love that. Now, look, not only did it have the crazy man urinating at the Waffle House in the naked, in the new, in the Nicky New.
Yeah.
It had the Facebook live stream. We're using technology for what it was designed for, Andy. We're using the technology not to, you know, have massive press conferences and watch your favorite bands live as they perform on the other side of the planet. We're using it to broadcast naked hobos pissing on the front of the Waffle House.
I was gonna plan to, you know, live stream the next Kang show or something. What's the point? There's better stuff out there to be watching. There's
so much better.
Oh, God.
Aim higher, Andy. Yeah, aim right. Higher. Right. That's pissing. Another quick story for you. A man at he's a bank robber.
Oh, no.
He's a bank robber, Andy.
I hate those.
So a man from Pembroke in Virginia was arrested last week. His name's Bradley Paul Wimmer. He's 34 years old.
Yep.
And he was arrested inside the Christiansburg Olive Garden restaurant hours after a police report was filed over a man with his description having robbed a bank in Radford, nearby Radford.
Yeah.
Heckles that town name.
Radford.
Radford.
We I need live to in go. Radford, I live in Radford. Right.
So this man, Bradley Paul Wimmer, is a single father of three. So he has custody of his three small children.
Yep.
And he was doing it to try and make some money to feed his children, which is, you know, look, you know, rob from the rich, give to the poor. Some people have to do what they have to do. Now, the thing about our mate Bradley Paul Wimmer, this was his absolute last resort, as he had put, in the month previous, he had ran a GoFundMe campaign.
Oh, what?
He had run a GoFundMe page that was posted, and it asked for some money so he could feed his children. He wanted $3,500 so he could feed his children.
Right.
And in the 14 days that he had to get the $3,500 total, he raised $0.
Oh.
So poor Bradley that he had absolutely no choice but to rob a bank.
Couldn't get a job.
And no, don't get a job. Don't get a job. Don't get welfare. Don't do that. So he went ahead and he robbed the bank in Radford. And now, unfortunately, those three children are now dead. What? No, they're not dead. I'm just saying, right? But they're going to go into foster care or something.
They're going to be taken away from that man. Let's hope.
He's going to be in prison for robbing a bank.
Definitely. Where he should be. Right. If that's his solution to my GoFundMe campaign didn't work, I'll have to rob a bank.
Look, it's a sad story, but there's other options.
There are
options. The options, you know, before you get to robbing the bank,
right,
you know, there's like Salvation Army.
Yeah, you could rob the little Santa Claus that waves the bell in front
get
of...
Get a job.
Talk to the welfare people. Get some food stamps.
Join the army.
Yeah, they take any old person.
What's mum doing? See if mum can take one of the kids for a little while.
Yeah.
The very last option...
Rob a bank.
...is rob the bank.
Ugh. That's the place for people that make that kind of cognitive leap.
He's a smart man. You know who else is a smart man, Andy? And this leads me into my last story. I've tried to churn through them because I got my ass chewed out after last week's episode. It went for like an hour and 20 minutes.
Only because of your objections.
Hey, you talk too much. I'm firing through it this week.
If the listeners
are like, oh, we want more rambling, then you just go ahead and tweet at Andy and just tell him how much you want to hear me ramble because you love it.
All right, I'll accept the Vox Populi, Stead, the voice of the people.
That what? Vox Populi?
Voice of the people. Right. It's Latin.
Steady learns English.
Steady learns words. Oh, there you go.
Right. I'm still coughing. I can't shake this cough, Andy. I know.
It's not driving me.
When I listen to podcasts, I hate when the guys like cough or the phone rings in the background or something and they don't edit it out.
There's a dog yapping.
So let's see how many of those coughs I can edit it out.
Rambling?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Let's see how many of those coughs I can edit out. If we get to this length in the podcast and you haven't heard me cough once, then I'm a genius.
You're a genius,
right?
All right, jury's out for now.
Okay, we were talking about crackpots that rob banks.
Right.
This is another crackpot, and it's someone that we know.
What?
I said in the last episode that we don't normally do celebrity stories because they're usually pretty widely covered, but this one seemed to slip under the radar. So, the band Blink-182...
Oh, yeah.
Andy.
They made some good songs.
They're still kicking around.
Really?
But they've got a new lineup.
Oh, right.
Tom DeLonge has left the band.
Okay.
And it was very widely publicized
a
couple of years ago. He left the band. They had some big arguments. It was very
It was him versus the drummer or something, ages.
There was emails and phone conversations that were leaked.
Yeah.
Big hullabaloo. They basically kicked Tom out of the band, and that was as it was for the last couple of years. They've replaced him with Matt Skiba from the Alkaline Trio, and they're back out doing new songs. That is
all
what it is.
All power to
right?
you.
Right?
Yep.
Now, Tom DeLonge has laid pretty quiet for the time after Blink.
Yep.
And that is because, Andy...
He's got nothing valuable to add to society at the moment.
Well, you know, that's your opinion.
Right? Okay.
He's actually been head first in his latest project, which is called Secret Machines. Secret is spelled S-E-K-R-E-T, right?
Okay,
just for your information.
No, it's not, but that's how it's spelled in this article. All right.
Secret Machines. Now, Secret Machines is a multimedia project focusing on investigating extraterrestrial life, including searching for UFOs.
For God's sake.
Now, anyone who's a Tom DeLonge fan or has been a Blink fan isn't, you know, that's not strange. We know that he's a bit of a UFO.
He had that alien song.
The 1999 song, Aliens Exist, talks about... You know, I know the CIA would say what you hear is all hearsay.
Yep.
You know, it's been out there that he's a crackpot about UFOs for a long time.
He was.
But he's come out in the media this week, Andy, and has said that the reason that he left Blink-182 wasn't because he was kicked out of the band. And it wasn't because it was
Try again.
It wasn't because it was not amicable.
Right.
Unamicable.
Inamicable.
Wasn't because it was shithouse. It wasn't because there was infighting.
Right.
It's because Tom DeLonge can't spend 9 months of the year on the road touring because he needs to spend more time investigating UFOs, Andy. Nobody needs to spend more time.
He's actually come out in the media and said that he has, like, first of all, wrong.
Yeah.
We saw the emails. We saw everything that went on at the time. We saw the Facebook posts. We heard the interviews. We know exactly what happened. Right. But, I mean, he's come out with some outrageous claims. Like, he says that, you know, I've actually seen events that happen. I've actually heard of events that have happened on the ground, and it's all around us. I know stuff, but I can't talk about it right now.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. You got no idea.
What do you know?
No idea, son.
You know nothing.
Right.
And he come out and he's also said, I think there are a lot of things in human life that you can't base off science, Andy.
Wait till we get to science news, chump.
Yeah.
We'll give you some science.
I have 10 people that I'm working with that are at the highest levels of the Department of Defense and NASA.
I very much doubt that. You know, fired people from NASA, you know, people that have lost their jobs for being crackpots,
About UFOs.
Highest people in NASA. Shut up.
Now, look, if you're a Tom DeLonge fan, go out and check out his Secret Machines webpage. I'm sure you'll enjoy that. I'm sure you'll have fun. But while he's spending 9 months of the year looking into UFOs and whatnot, his former bandmates are off touring the globe with their new album and making shitloads of money without you.
Right. I'm sure he'll capitalize. I'm sure he'll find himself on his feet with UFO discoveries. Shut up.
Look, is there a possibility, amongst all possibilities, that out there, amongst the galaxies, there's a planet that is close enough to a sun, yet far enough away from it, that it can sustain life without being burnt to a crisp, or too icy, or whatnot? Is there a chance that when we look at Earth and we see the things that exist in the arid environments and the freezing cold and whatever, is there a chance that out there somewhere there is something?
Absolutely, 100%. Of course. 100%.
Are they coming to Earth on a regular basis in tube-shaped ships and anal probing us?
No.
No.
Not even a little bit. In fact, recent scientists have discovered building blocks of life, small microbial life forms, in the vacuum of space. We're looking at a space that is occupied by things that have the potential for starting life, frozen usually, but they're floating around in the ether. But coming here in ships with little green rays and probing people for God knows what reason. This is the thing that fascinates me. What kind of person decides at some point that the anal probe is the only way that they would be studying us?
Yeah.
Like,
what about...
what kind of person
decides... what about skin swab?
Yeah. What about we do DNA testing just by a little swab of the cheek? Yeah. Why are aliens shoving shit up your ass? Why? It makes no sense.
Well, there's two cavities to a human. One is the easiest way to get into the internal organs.
The out hole is the one they're going for. Morons.
Anyway, Tom DeLonge's a weirdo.
All right, shall we scrub thoroughly our brains of Tom DeLonge's version of science news
real
science news, free of Tom DeLonge and UFOs. I am very happy to say, Steady McFly, I've got some massive leaps forward in science that you will be very excited to hear about.
I'm sure I will, Andy. I won't poke any holes in any of them.
Last week we talked about a bus, Steady McFly, a microbial bus.
A bus to save all humanity.
I really don't know how we got onto a bus metaphor, but we got onto a bus metaphor. But
bus, an army filled bus. Right. Specifically an army bus.
Fortunately, this week we have an actual bus story.
Oh, with a real bus. How about that?
So a futuristic straddling bus. Right. In quotation marks, has been developed in Beijing-based companies. They've drawn up the plans. They've proposed it as the most awesomely named bus in history. Straddling. Straddling of all things to call a bus.
a straddling bus. Why not? Who cares? Good on you, China. We believe in you. So basically, this futuristic looking bus design is 60 meters long. 60 meters, Steady McFly.
That's pretty long.
That's pretty
gosh darn long.
It is 8 meters.
The turning circle on it's got to be pretty rubbish.
Short. So it's nearly 8 meters wide, and it basically sits on rails, and the rails sort of lifted up over the roadway.
So what you're saying, Andy, if I'm following, is that it's straddling the roadway.
It certainly is, Teddy McFly.
How about that?
Well done. So this type of bus is basically going to save congestion issues by, instead of having buses on the road with cars, these buses will go over the cars, not interrupting traffic. Cars up to 2 meters high will pass underneath this bus, totally uninterrupted by the bus stopping, driving slower than the speed limit, whatever.
Right. Two questions. Question one.
Yep.
Statement.
Statement one.
Where are we getting the roads that are straight, 100% straight, with no turning circle at all?
Right.
And 8 meters wide. That in order to use this bus,
they will sort of have to redevelop and upgrade existing roads.
So will this be happening at the same time as we're building the Hyperloop tunnels underneath?
Yes.
Or
thought we weren't building Hyperloop, Stead. Wasn't that your idea last time?
So we're doing the Hyperloop tunnels everywhere, so we can get back to using trains. And at the same time, we're going to be building these 8 meter wide roadways that can house these buses. Yeah. Buses and trains.
That's the direction of the future, Steve McFly. This is
you've got to look back to look forward.
You don't have to, but you can. Apparently, you can.
Question number two, Andy. What happens when you get a lorry that's bigger than 2 meters?
Well, here's the thing. These specially designed roads will be for cars and this particular bus only. The lorries will have to be on a different section of the roadway so that they don't destroy this bus. But this huge bus will have room for about 1,400 passengers in the bus. A bus with 1,400 people, Steady McFly.
It's quite a lot of people.
It's Beijing, so they've got quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
They're dealing with this traffic congestion all the time.
I don't know why. They only had to have one child.
I know. How do they get so many people, right? It happens. So basically, this technology is just the future of bus travel.
It's not.
You can drive under the bus.
It's a cool idea, but the infrastructure that you have to put in place in order to actually use the bus, it would mean a redesign of every major city in the world. It's not even trillions of dollars. It's quadrillion. Like, it's an amount of money that doesn't exist, Andy.
But,
and when we're talking about busting people's butts for like 60 cents on your Medicare bill, like, I don't think we're going to be able to afford redesigning every major roadway in the world.
Well, what the thing is, sitting like 1,400 people on this bus off the roads, 1,400 cars off the roads in order to accommodate these buses, the savings on fuel, pollution solutions, all these sorts of things, car repairs, car keeping them on the road, it's just going to save billions. It's going to cost quadrillions, but it's going to save billions, right? It's going to be epic, Steady. Before I get behind the straddle.
It's just one of those ideas that it's like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
How do you make it happen? How do you make it happen without costing a billion dollars and redesigning Tokyo, London, Paris, Rome, Sydney?
It's China. Their government just goes, we're going to make this bus. And everyone goes, okay.
Okay.
We don't really have a choice in the world. But speaking of traffic congestion, Steady McFly, the eastern side of the world, the eastern hemisphere, is not the only people that are thinking about traffic congestion, Stead. Right. The west is following suit.
Yeah, we're getting into Hyperloop trains.
Well, we're talking about Bruges. So, the city of Bruges in Belgium. So, not quite Hyperloop technology people.
I picture them on Segways. They're more of a Segway people.
They probably are. I picture them as a brewery type of people.
drinking Belgian beer and shit.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's kind of where we're heading, Steady McFly. Bruges, the city in Belgium, has got a bit of a traffic problem. And one of the... apparently, one of the largest contributors of this traffic problem is beer trucks. Lorries full of beer delivering it to pubs and to places around the world because their breweries are so fantastic.
Not just trucks in general. Not trucks like delivering all sorts of goods. Just beer trucks.
Yes. Millions of gallons of beer every year has to be transported in and around Bruges by the breweries and people consuming until a genius arrived, Xavier Vinest, to solve this problem, Steady McFly.
The way you said that, it's like such a great story. A genius has arrived
to solve this problem, this centuries old brewing beer delivery problem, by designing and, I must say, construction has now finished on
finished
an underground beer pipeline in Bruges to improve traffic congestion. So the the beer is in its own pipeline underneath the city, being pumped on through to pubs and places closer to the pubs, I'm guessing.
But is it just one type of beer?
That's a good question.
Like, surely if it's one pipe, unless you've got like 15 pipes running simultaneously next to each other.
Yeah. No, I think it's the one type of beer. It's only the one pipeline, so you would think it'd have to be the one type of beer. But according to food safety authorities, it's totally fine. It's not going to poison all the customers. So
Have they started using it?
I don't think they've started using it. I think the construction is finishing up.
One of those things, like, you have to like try and see if you could find where the pipe was and see if you could like...
these little Belgians with a tap attached to the pipe.
Just build a house like inconspicuously on top of the beer line and tap straight into it.
As you speak, Steady McFly, there is a follow-up to this article.
Right.
There's a follow-up to this article which may satisfy one of your major questions, which is that the beer pipeline is actually a series of bundled beer pipelines that run in the city. So, different kinds of beer, Steady!
What?
Different kinds of beer! Pump straight through. In fact, 1,060 gallons of beer per hour from the bottling plants to the city. Per hour, Steady.
How pissed are these people?
Oh my god, that's
right. How can they honestly drink that much beer?
Right? It's just... I just want to see the government systems. Well, we've got weird things in the government. Lockout laws because live music's just too loud.
We can't even get the national broadband network.
Right,
here.
We can't even get internet to our houses properly.
But beer is a priority.
Belgium, beer is a priority. Apparently they got their own pipeline. We are living in the wrong freaking country, Steady McFly.
We sure are.
Obviously. All right. Speaking of strange new developments in the world of science, Steady McFly, I've got to talk to you about your storage problems. Honestly, storing data. We've got all these weird options like the cloud, terabytes
of stuff.
It
can be really expensive.
Right, because there's
all these
fees.
We do this show for free. We've never taken a dollar for this show.
No.
We haven't tried. Like we
haven't put any GoFundMe campaigns or
like
to bank.
We know that a lot of podcasts out there do things to try and take money, like they'll do special episodes or they'll make t-shirts or something. But we've never done any of that yet.
Yeah.
We just like doing the show. We do it for free. But it costs us money.
So much.
So we've got... This is episode 48... Each episode, that's like, it's got to be stored on the cloud. So we have close to 50 episodes. Like, that's almost 50 gigs worth of storage that we have to pay for on the internet.
It's
crazy.
Right. It's going to send us all to the poorhouse, Steady McFly.
For your entertainment.
For
your
entertainment. We'll suffer these consequences to bring you the Mac and Cheese Show week after week. Well, Steady McFly, maybe we don't have to store things in the cloud. Maybe we don't have to store them online anymore. Science has our back.
What?
Science has our back. All right, so scientists recently have started experimenting, and you'll be happy to know, successfully experimenting on storing data on living bacteria. Steady McFly. Bacterial cells are being used to imprint data for storage.
But... like, in living tissue?
Living bacteriae. Steady McFly. The scientists have already done this before, to be honest. They've imprinted certain information using the bacteria's special replicating DNA synthesizing things that it has going on in its cells, and they imprint data specifically on these cells of the DNA, and it stays there, can be read later on, and, you know, extracted in your computer data. So basically what this story is telling us is that now the latest technology that they've developed has managed to imprint bacteria, a single bacterium, with between 30 to 100 bytes of information. Steady McFly, 30 to 100 bytes.
But how do you pinpoint that one single cell of bacteria?
I'm sure there's some weird microelectroscope.
Like, read it and make use of it.
Well, they've done it. They've imprinted and read the information printed on this bacteria. And it's a strange situation, Steady McFly, because as you know, bacteria multiplies. And once they've etched this information into this bacteria, the bacteria is living and free to multiply. So that information is being
multiplied,
propagated to thousands, millions of bits of information on the bacteria as it grows. So theoretically, you know, none of this, you've got a hard drive which will deteriorate and decay in 1,000 years and fall away. This bacteria will keep multiplying, and as long as it's got enough food, forever, and keep your information on it. You could sneeze in a petri dish and store all your porn files.
I'm being very quiet because I don't understand. Like, I get the basic principle.
Yep.
But I fail to see its usefulness.
Basically, if you think about it, like, you've got a bacteria, right? Build it up in your mind so that you can see it. And then a scientist comes along and tattoos the outside of that bacteria with a Shakespeare thing.
Look.
Right.
I'm not that daft.
All right.
I get the basic concept.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is it's not like a USB where you can just plug it in, download something, take it to another computer, plug it in, upload, right?
The interface needs some work, Steady McFly.
Yeah.
Right, but if you think about it, they've got all these things now with, like, bioluminescent life forms, you know, those glowing things they get from the ocean, which are tiny little algae that reflect light and create their own light. And they put them into tiny things like light fittings and things like that. They're starting in some European country, I think it's France somewhere, and putting pavements made out of these flattened out pieces of bioluminescent technology. There's nothing to stop them from putting these data carrying bacteria into something as small as a USB, as long as the interface can read them and write on them. Bam! You've got bacteria, tiny little bacteria that replicate and keep your information. Weird. I'm not saying it's not weird, Steady McFly, but that's science.
It's definitely science. That's a thing that it is.
That's the thing that it is.
Useful is another thing. It's going to take a long time. It's like there's a few episodes ago you came up with the story about the blackest black cloth that traps light and doesn't reflect anything. So your eyeballs aren't actually seeing the cloth. It's just seeing an absence of color.
Right.
Right. Science, definitely. It's definitely science. That's the thing that it is. It's been developed by scientists in a scientific lab for science purposes. What those purposes are, I'm unsure. Much like this, it's going to take a long time before we craft a purpose for
ability. The scientists here are talking about advantages in the future, such as nanotechnology, those tiny little microscopic robots that are going to be inside our bodies, fixing things and stuff like that. What if we could imprint data and information to something as small as a bacteria, and then you've got a sort of cyborg bacteria instead of a purely robotic nanotechnology thing, and that cyborg bacteria knows to hunt down AIDS virus
humans.
And things.
Humans. To kill humans from the inside because these bacterias have been imprinted by the robots that now have human rights thanks to their story in the last episode. And now they're going to kill all humans from the inside with their cyborg bacteria.
It's always going to kill all humans. That's the end game, Steady McFly, every single story.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that's probably not going to kill all humans, Steady McFly, is my final science story for the week. And again, we've got some boffin of a teenager doing advances in science that we could not possibly come up with, Steady McFly.
Right.
Because we have other things to do.
Yes.
You know, comb our beards.
Yeah,
and, you know, play our Xbox and stuff. So, from the Telegraph this week, we have a pupil who has found a lost Mayan city. A lost Mayan city by studying ancient charts of the night sky and using Google Maps.
Google Maps.
Google Maps. This Canadian schoolboy has appeared to have allegedly discovered a lost Mayan city hidden deep in the jungles of Mexico using a method of matching stars to locations of temples that they used to build and checking that on Google Earth and spying. What the kid basically did is he was fascinated with ancient civilizations and how they built things related to constellations and stuff. And he went through studying all these different constellations and found
Pause me there.
Nerd!
Who's this kid? Who's this kid, this teenager who is fascinated with how the Mayans used to calculate with the stars?
Not getting much action, I imagine. Maybe he hasn't hit puberty just yet. But he studied 25 different constellations and found that they matched 117 Mayan cities scattered throughout Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Then he applied this theory that he'd had to a 23rd constellation that didn't seem to correlate to any of the discovered sites that they'd found, checked it out on Google Earth, and found from the satellite footage that there were several anomalies in the jungle, raised plateaus, flattened out areas that weren't covered by as many trees, and a rather city-shaped looking smudge in the jungle. So, unfortunately for the meantime, for researchers right now, it's undiscovered because it's in a particularly uninhabitable, inhospitable section of the jungle that would just be nigh on impossible to get people physically there to check it out.
Right.
But using Google Maps and all these anomalies in the satellite footage, he has potentially found an entire lost city just sitting at home on his computer studying charts and Google Earth.
Well,
what did you do at your tween years, Steady McFly? What did you do with your time? This kid has potentially discovered an entire lost city never before seen by modern man.
You know what I did in my tween years, Andy?
What did you do?
I hung out with my friends. Which of this kid has none.
You hung out with your friends.
Zero.
And took up smoking to look cool amongst.
Yeah.
That was what you did with your time.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
So, like, much like this story.
Yeah.
This week, it went a bit crazy on Reddit.
Right.
These people found in a certain spot in the ocean.
Oh, the living
Kraken. The Kraken. And then
looks suspiciously like a friggin' whale breaching, just FYI.
Not even that. I think someone came out and there was some sort of like geographical scientist or whatever that was just like,
I can nearly 100% say with all certainty that it's a rock. It's just a rock.
Honestly, check past satellite images. If it's still there, it's probably a rock.
It's a rock.
It's probably a rock. It doesn't sound like it's too friggin' hard to work out, does it?
So it's kind of not the same thing, but it's, you know, it's almost the same thing.
Yes.
It's people sitting at home with no lives checking out Google Maps to see if they can find something crazy in, like, the middle of the ocean. Why are you spending your time zooming in on particular parts of the middle of the ocean?
Right. Idiots. Idiots. Nerds. Absolute idiots. All right, Steady McFly, but that is science news for the week.
Science news!
Science news is over, Steady McFly.
Yay!
Right. That means we're on to one of your favourite segments ever, Steady McFly. No. The game show where you prove your intellectual acumen.
Go back to science news.
And show the world that you are the intellectual powerhouse that you are, Steady McFly.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for 2016's new favourite game show? It's You're Making It Up, Andy Mac.
And this is very topical this week. We've talked a fair bit recently about American politics, and we may have slipped under the radar that actually Australia is up for an election very soon.
We are.
And this is a special occasion because not many people know this, but I think our last three or four prime ministers have been completely unelected.
Yes.
They have taken over the job using party politics and stuff from someone else that was actually legitimately elected.
Correct.
So we have tons of examples of where we have absolutely no say, but soon, Steady McFly, we will have a say, and we're going to use that to our fullest.
Oh,
aren't we,
yes.
Steady McFly?
Yes, I'm so looking forward to
it. So this week's You're Making It Up, Andy Mac, we're going to talk about different political parties, Steady McFly. Maybe slightly smaller, less known political parties, because we have this debate every time there's an election, Steady McFly. It is one of the few times in our existence, I feel, that I get a little bit riled up. Doesn't happen very often, but
right.
Every few years, Steady McFly rocks up and says, "Hey, Andy Mac, what are you going to do? You're going to vote Labour or Liberal?" And that sets me on a little bit of a soapbox, doesn't it, Steady McFly?
It does. Like, the reason why I say that is because we're in, like, a bipartisan government. It really, the way that we're set up, it's down to Labour or Liberal. No one else can have enough seats to really make a difference. So
Steady has resigned himself to the two-party system, like so many other peoples in our country and in other countries around the world. But in fact, Steady McFly, we don't need all these minor parties to have enough people to take over the government as a whole. We need them to have enough people so that the government relies on their vote to back policy. And that way we get such institutions as the Science Party. You heard it here first, Mac and Cheese listeners. Science Party, it's an actual thing. And
that
you can vote for it.
Like, that sounds like the lamest party ever.
They're talking about,
"We're going to have a science party."
We're talking about free universities.
Bring your beakers.
Boost to education, Steady. New university cities. Science Party for the win. I don't think they're going to win, but
they'll
probably get my vote. So this week, we're going to have an entire segment on crazy arts political parties, Steady McFly. They are out there. They are weird. They are not Labour, Liberal, Democrat, Republican, the major parties, Steady
right.
McFly. But they exist. They are registered. They have members, and they are legitimate members of our Senate, America's Congress, other places around the world, Steady McFly.
Right. Okay.
So what I'm going to do in this segment is I'm going to pick a few of these choice political parties, and I'm going to tell you some of their policies, Steady McFly. Now, two of their policies are going to be well and truly legit,
one of their policies I'm going to be totally making up, Steady McFly.
Okay, so I have to pick the one that's made up.
You have to pick the one that is completely made up, Steady McFly. And we're going to start in Hungary.
Now, I've never won You're Making It Up, Annie Mac. I've never actually won one. So tonight could be the night, Andy. And don't forget, listeners, don't forget to play along at home. Keep your score.
Yep. See if you beat Steady McFly. But if he gets all of them correct, then there's no beating Steady McFly. And you finally get the golden gavel of something.
Is there an actual golden gavel of something? I demand you craft me a golden gavel.
I will craft you a golden gavel or something.
If and when I get every answer right.
Alright, Steady McFly. Well, I hope that you've been keeping up with your Hungarian politics, because our first party is the Hungarian Two-Tailed Dog Party, Steady McFly.
The Two-Tailed Dog Party.
That is
party.
The actual name of the party. The Hungarian Two-Tailed Dog Party. And they have some very interesting policies with which they plan to get Hungarian votes, Steady
I'm
McFly.
I'm sure they do.
So, the Two-Tailed Dog Party's three major policies that they put out before election time are as follows, Steady McFly.
Right.
Are you paying attention?
I am.
All right. They are eternal life.
Eternal life.
Eternal life. They are a 1 day per week work week. 1 day a week. 6 days off.
Oh.
And they are a dog for every household. The Two-Tailed Dog Party of Hungary, Steady McFly. Which one is false? Hit me.
Well, the first two are so outrageously crazy that the third one sounds like you've made it up just because it has dog in it.
Uh-huh.
So, just on that basis alone, plus I'm voting for them.
Right?
I'm
right.
voting for them. Either way, two of those are amazing.
Right.
Right. So, I'm going to say that you made the third one up. The dogs for every household.
A dog for every household? Ding, 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 Steady McFly.
Yes!
You are correct. The
yes!
Two-Tailed Hungarian Dog Party promotes not only a 1 day per week work week.
That's so great.
Not only eternal life for the future of Hungary. It also promotes things like world peace. Steady McFly.
We will deliver
part of its policy.
World peace.
Right.
How are they planning on delivering eternal life?
I have no idea, but it's definitely part of their complete policy.
I'm voting for them.
Right.
They've got my vote.
Oh, there's people out there, Steady McFly. Right. Speaking of people out there that are crazy, Steady McFly, we're going to come back to Australia. And
Australia.
People that are up for election alongside the Labor, Liberals, Science, Greens, all sorts of wonderful parties like that, Steady McFly. We have the Citizens Electoral Council of Australia. The CEC,
wow.
If you will.
They sound like a bunch of fun people.
They are a bunch of fun people, Steady McFly, which include certain party stances and policies.
Right, let's make this two for two.
Let's make this two for two. So, their platform includes the recognition that the financial elites of the world are creating panic about the Brexit. You know what the Brexit is, Steady McFly?
I do not.
The Brexit is the British vote to leave the EU or stay in the EU. It's in all the papers. Is England going to remain part of the European Union, or is it going to sever off and become its own entity?
Right.
Now, the CEC have gone on record to say that the EU is part of a Nazi UK and Wall Street backed conspiracy of banks.
Nazi.
Yes.
In 2016.
To control the world, and
right.
That is what the EU is. All right. Their second policy that they are backing is that NATO, you know, our mates in NATO,
yes,
are staging, you know, those war games, those practice war games, in order to start World War III with Russia, because the European Union is going to expand and take over Russia. It's part of their policy. Steady McFly.
So this is the Australian.
The Australian party. Lots of interest in Europe.
Why?
Steady McFly. All right. And another part of their wonderful, wonderful policy, Steady McFly, is that we attack the future of terrorism by creating and propagating terrorists of our own, Steady McFly. All part
creating
of
creating terrorists.
EC. Well, backing terrorists that are over there causing trouble to cause trouble for us rather than these nations that live
right, under. Right, so kind of a suicide squad of Australian-backed terrorists.
As you will. So, right. European Union is a giant Nazi-backed conspiracy. NATO is also a European Union conspiracy. Or the only way to fight terror is with terror. Steady McFly.
Right.
What is the CEC nutbags, if you will? What is their true policy?
I haven't really got like a read on this one. So, I'm going to go with my gut. And my gut says NATO. NATO is made up.
NATO is made up. Bam! Incorrect. Steady McFly. NATO is hell-bent on starting World War III with Russia. So
there
that they
goes
expand.
The golden gavel.
There goes the golden gavel. The made-up one was, of course, fighting terrorism with terrorism.
All right, Steady McFly, our party number three and your question number three.
Right.
You're one up, one down.
One up, one down.
You're sure to vote for this party, Steady McFly, as I know you're passionate about the outdoors. Steady McFly.
I am.
You are passionate about the outdoors, and these people
I'm
are passionate.
I'm passionate about getting out of the outdoors and indoors as quickly as possible.
Right? It's a real thing. Outdoors is a scary place.
Yeah, it's right? Awful. There's insects and rattlesnakes.
Right? Not in this country at all. No, wrong, Steady McFly was but the word that I was going for. They do exist. That is true,
yes.
But not so much in this country. So, Steady McFly, we're going to talk about the outdoor recreation party.
Right.
And their policies. All right, so we talked about policies in the last party. This time I want to talk about catchphrases.
Catchphrases.
You got three to choose from. I want you to tell me where the outdoor recreation party sits. They're all about the outdoors, getting out back to nature.
Right.
All right, so is their party policy... A, stop the miners.
Miners as in people who mine? Mimes. Or miners as in people who are under 18?
Not the under
18. Please clarify.
All right, miners as in people who dig things up.
Right, because right. If there was a party that had a policy, stop the miners, meaning people under 18.
Right.
I'm all for
absolutely.
It,
absolutely. Let's get behind all people under 18. Done.
Get those finished. Kids off my lawn.
Right, absolutely. I happen to agree with you there, Stan. But we're talking about mining companies.
Right.
Is it stop the miners? All right. Is it stop the tourists? Not terrorists. Tourists.
Tourists.
Yeah, it's people that come and snap photos of our natural wildlife and going into places and right. Look at them and stuff.
Taking Instagram selfies.
That's
with
the ones.
Echidnas.
The selfie sticks and the quackers.
Right, yeah, right? Yeah.
Or is it stop the greens, Steady McFly?
Stop the greens? Aren't the greens all for the outdoors? Wouldn't well, that be...
Right, there you go, Steady McFly. Are we stopping the miners with the outdoor party? Are we stopping the tourists? Or are we stopping the greens? What's it going to be,
and two of them
McFly?
Are right.
Two of is no, one of them's right, Steady McFly.
One of them's right.
Sorry, I should have clarified. One of them's
correct.
Because
on the other one, two were real and one was wrong.
Well, now we're changing it up, Steady McFly. I'm trying
How
to get the win.
How do you ever expect me to win if you don't tell me the rules, Andy? Jeez,
we
Louise.
All
right.
Expect you to win, Steady McFly. This
I'm
is all about
say,
you.
Stop the miners.
Stop the miners for the outdoor recreation party, Steady McFly.
Right.
Wrong.
No!
Incorrect. So the catchphrase of the outdoor recreation party is, of course, stop the greens.
Why?
Against the
is
greens.
Is it just because they're like, is it be like Apple and Samsung? Like, to everyone else in the world, they're on the same team, but between the two of them.
Well, here's where I need to educate you, Steady McFly, because they are actually, despite being called the outdoor recreational party, they are the opposite of the greens. So this is actually some name changes have happened, Steady McFly. The gun party?
Yes.
They're no longer the gun party anymore.
Right.
The four-wheel drive enthusiast party? They're no longer the four-wheel drive enthusiast party. These parties have changed names into the outdoor recreation party, and they want to stop the Greens from protecting the wilderness and restricting access to rainforests and places like that, so they can take their four-wheel drives and go tear it the shit up.
And
national park.
Shoot up shoot some animals while they're there.
The outdoor recreation party is also for cancelling all of our very unfair gun laws and giving guns to everyone once again. And they're for four-wheel driving any old place, any old time.
If we know anything about anything, is that people having guns doesn't work.
Right.
I saw this thing this week. It's like if you saw a child right. in the playground hitting someone with a stick, do you take away the stick or do you give everybody sticks?
Right. It's such
progressively larger sticks.
It's such a simple answer to that question.
Good Lord.
Don't give everyone sticks. That's a stupid idea. Right. All right, last one, Steady McFly.
Last one.
You can bring it into a tie.
So all I can do is tie.
On this one again, that you're not upset, has one correct answer. Steady McFly, one correct answer.
Okay, thank you for informing me of the rules. I'm sure the people playing along at home are also confused.
I'm putting
in a formal protest on this one, Andy.
Talk to your local.
I don't know who to.
Talk to your local member. Talk to your local member. All right. Our last one, Steady McFly, is a political party in Australia called Flux.org.
Flux.org,
Steady McFly. And their stance is to change the way we vote, Stead. Now, how are they going to change the way we vote, Steady McFly? I'm going to give you three whole options.
Right.
Ready?
Okay.
All right. Option number one, elections and debates are going to take place on Facebook Live, Steady McFly. You can get online and cast your votes via your own Facebook account. All right, most of Australia's connected, but we'd need some more connected.
Right.
Obviously.
I like the idea of that one because it's like Flux and Facebook, like it could be FL.
Yeah.
You know, you've got, there's a connection there already.
Absolutely.
I like that one.
All right. Another way they're going to do it, Stead, are they going to make the voting system similar to Tinder, Steady McFly? So you get your voting system on your phone and you swipe left if you like it, you swipe right if you hate it. It's left or right, as simple as anything.
I've got a Tinder story for you, Andy.
Oh, you got a Tinder story?
Can I drop it in now?
Drop it in now.
Drop it in now.
All right, let's have a Tinder story.
I saw a story this week. I actually forgot about it, and I was 100% meaning to bring it to the pod,
right.
But I completely and utterly forgot about it. Until you mentioned Tinder now, you absolute genius.
Let's have it, Steady McFly.
So Tinder, for those who have never used it, who might be in the 30 and above category, who just
like
missed
us.
The boat on
right.
Tinder completely... It's a social dating app, which means basically you pictures come up, you swipe one way if you like the look of them, you swipe the other if you're not interested, and it's all based around people who are in your general area. So you can nominate within 10Ks, within 50Ks, you know, for those people who might be really looking for love, within 100Ks, you know, why not?
Let's not be picky.
So, and if you flick and you get a match, then you get a chance to speak to this complete random stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And look, from what I've heard, I've never experienced Tinder, but from what I've heard, people who use the app tend to have fairly loose morals. And, you know,
it's our understanding for everyone. It's not our generation.
A meetup place
right.
that it's for booty calls. You don't really, you don't go on Tinder looking for love.
Not long term. Right.
Having said that, I know people who have met and fallen in love via Tinder.
Right.
So it's not just for hookups, but you know, it's just for hookups. Anyway, Tinder, right?
Right.
So
Tinder.
Now I'll explain what it is. There was a story this week about a scientist, Andy.
Oh, I love
science. A scientist who was in the Arctic tundra.
Arctic or Antarctic?
Arctic. Well, Antarctic.
Antarctic.
I got
south.
The word tundra.
He did get tundra. Points for tundra.
Wherever they go to do crazy research missions.
Both. Really, but
they were in one of them, right?
One of the poles.
I've clearly done my research. I haven't got the story here with me, but So he was in the tundra. He was miles and miles and miles from civilization, right? Out in the middle of absolutely nowhere, completing this research on the ice and whatnot. Yeah. Now, he had a GPS, so he had access to the internet, right? So he's there in his little, you know, woodgie in the middle of the night, bunkering down.
Yep.
And
just going to point out that GPS doesn't give you Wi-Fi.
GPS and internet isn't the same thing.
Moving
right along, right? So he's in his little teepee at night and he's bunkering down for the night and he's flicking through his Facebook and whatever, trying to keep up with the world.
Yeah.
And just out of interest, something in the back of his brain goes, check your Tinder. Just open Tinder. Up your Tinder.
Right.
So he opens up his Tinder app, Andy.
Nothing but penguins.
And he puts in his location and he puts in a radius of, I think, 25 kilometres. Yeah. And surprise, surprise, no matches, right?
There's no one there.
So just out of interest, he's not ready to give up yet.
Right.
He increases his search capacity to 50 kilometres.
Right.
Buddha-dink.
Buddha-dink? Is that what it does?
Right. What? Out in the middle of the Arctic or Antarctic tundra, whichever one it happened to be, this man got a match, a Tinder match, in the middle of fucking nowhere.
So it had to be someone that like meets his criteria, like he's a female.
Yes, there just so happened to be a female research scientist out in the middle of fuck off nowhere within like 35 kilometres who happened to be on Tinder at that point.
Right.
What are the chances?
Did they hook up?
Yes!
Go science for the win.
It's the world's first like Tinder matchup on that continent.
That's epic. That's love.
It's amazing.
It's match made in ice. Cubes. In ice places.
In one of the tundras.
I imagine that your criteria is not very narrow if you're the only person on the continent researching ice. Like, I'll take anything. Female, go. Everything.
Sea leopard.
Moderately warm seal to cuddle up to. Right.
Right, I'm sorry to hijack.
Totally hijacked your segment. Everyone out there, we are actually playing a game here. Right. Let's get back to it.
So, I completely forgot what we were up to. Let's recap that.
Flux.org.
Flux.org. Facebook Live debates.
Facebook Live debates and voting.
Voting.
Right.
Tinder-style voting.
On all of the issues that you have. Or is it a text message voting system? So, you will, you know, you have the pop idol and stuff, and you text the name of the winner. It's like they have their political debates there. Are we going to raise the GST or not? You know, text in no to this number.
Fair enough.
Right? And then, so basically, the whole idea of the party is that we...
is to cut out the older generation from being able to vote.
Exactly.
Cut out people who don't understand how Facebook works from being able to make decisions that affect our lives.
Exactly. Exactly. And all the politicians and stuff sitting around on benches in Parliament getting paid squillions of dollars. Get rid of them because we can actually live vote things.
Yeah.
We have the internet now. We can all have a say.
Right.
Right. So what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Just solely based on the name, I'm going to go with Facebook Live, but I'm pretty sure it's wrong, and I'm pretty sure that I am now going to lose. You're making it up, Andy Mac, again.
No golden gavel for you standing on the line. There'll be no construction.
Not even close.
All right, so the flux.org, it is the Tinder-style voting app.
Tinder-style.
We are talking about this app that comes up on your phone, a computer if you need it, and they'll say, you know, immigration and GST and blah, 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 whatever the issues are, and you swipe left if you're voting yes, and you swipe right if you're voting no. It's that simple, Steady McFly. Doesn't that sound like
crazy?
If we've learned anything from the past week, it's that giving votes to the general public is not the best idea.
Isn't that ridiculous?
You poor UK. Oh, what's wrong with you?
Who knows?
Just watching the interviews with the people out there in the streets that are happy about it, that don't have any teeth, any idea what the EU is.
Yeah.
We're so happy we could take back Britain for the British.
Oh, and apparently everyone, all the kids, all the people under, you know, the age of 30.
Yeah.
Well, like, apparently every single demographic in that age group voted no.
Yeah, voted remain. Because it's their future. They want to be able to travel to Paris, work in Germany, go anywhere they like. Whereas all these old duffers that are over 60 just want to stay in their little house and not go outside and have their really English cups of tea and
scones. And not be hassled by immigrants.
Right? Just want to stay exactly where they are. Ah, oh, it's crazy. Don't let the people vote for Trump or Brexit.
Oh my God, right? What is the world coming to?
It's coming to an end, Steady McFly. That's what it's coming to. All right, but that's it, Steady McFly. That's the
I
end.
Lose.
You're making it up.
I lose again.
You and surprise, England lose.
Surprise.
This Steady McFly. But now you're more well-informed for your voting Australian political and whatever the hell that shit is next
blah,
week.
Blah, yeah.
It's all coming up. Now you know that the outdoor recreation party is actually the shooter's party.
Yes!
In a different disguise. Oh, the more you know. Steady, vote the science party. Right?
Yeah.
They sponsor my segment. If I send them a text and maybe ask them to sponsor my segment, hey?
Exactly.
Right, probably not. But anyway, get out there and vote, kids. You pretty much have to in this country.
Yeah.
Because they'll find you
mandatory.
If you don't.
But look, actually, take half an hour, take 2 hours, and do some research and vote for the right person. Because there's so many people that I know that, you know, say that their votes don't matter, but they actually do. You know, someone makes up the numbers that get someone elected. So be one of the right numbers.
If, right, the closeness of the Brexit vote, if anything, just means just definitely every vote counts. You just proved it.
You need to get in there.
So close. All right, guys, well, we're going to get out of your political face cells right now.
And we'll be back next week.
Yes.
With another episode.
With any luck.
With any luck.
See you, guys.
See ya.
Bye, Steady.
Mac and Cheese.
If you've got an idea for us to do for a story, hit us up on Twitter at Mac and Cheese Pod.
And Facebook and stuff.
Mac and Cheese Pod PRR.
PRR. Two R's.
Rawr.